Hi, everybody. Welcome to our show. This is Kindness Beyond the Veil, where we'll look at supernatural topics like ghosts, the afterlife, psychic ability, UFOs, starseeds and earth angels, magic and mysticism, but not with fear and loathing everywhere. There's positive and even loving sides to these topics, and that's the light we'll shine on for this show. This is your host, Chip Reichenthal. I was kind of thrust into these curiosities in 1979 when my best friend through childhood came to me at the moment of his death, and I had to know why. Back then, you couldn't talk about that stuff without getting a freak label, so I was pretty much on my own looking into these mysteries early on. Answers would lead to more questions and side realms like magic, stars and planets, energy and physics, and lately, starseeds and earth angels. But I found there's no good and evil in an animal kingdom, no good and evil in a plant kingdom. I've never had a negative encounter with ghosts or the dead. Now, almost 40 years into this, and there simply doesn't seem to be many looks into these fields without all the fear and loathing. Isn't there enough of that in life? Well, we're going to steer away from that, look at the good in people and these topics. Every week I get to highlight my heroes in these fields for you, introduce you to them, even if you knew all about them. There is kindness beyond the veil. I've seen a lot of it. There's answers to be found on the kinder side of things. And if there's light on the other side, we'll bring it into this side as well. And benevolence, empathy, compassion, the kinder side of science and phenomenon, the kindness beyond the veil. I'm your host, Chip Reichenthal. We're so glad you're joining us. Come on in. Welcome. Welcome to Kindness Beyond the Veil. This is your host, Chip Reichenthal, and for some of you, this could be the most important. This episode could provide a path going forward you may have not been aware of until now, and just in time for what we call the 1111 Gateway. In fact, Saturday is November 11th for 1111, and if you're hearing us on Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, we welcome you to United Public Radio Network, and your 1111 Gateway opens now. And if you're hearing us on Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, we welcome you to Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network. Hope you have a great week. Saturday is a big day. And just in time for this 1111 Gateway is our very honored guest, Caroline Oceana Ryan, who's known and regarded worldwide for her works regarding the topics of ascension, lightworkers, and something called 5D or five-dimensional living, and has a tremendous following for her weekly series called A Message to Lightworkers, where Caroline channels a group of light beings called The Collective. And we shall hear from The Collective during today's broadcast. And the real hope of today's show is that you listening could indeed be a lightworker, an empath, an earth angel, or a starseed, and not know it. And the universe could sure use your help. So every question for Caroline Oceana Ryan, as well as for The Collective, is with that in mind. The whole month of November, in fact, here on Kindness Beyond the Veil, is Interdimensional Month, with today's show about lightworkers and ascension. Next week, we'll have an international radio host who'll fill us in on the Kindness Beyond the Veil as seen overseas. We've got a show on the 20th about extraterrestrials from the point of view of an experiencer. An experiencer is a term that describes somebody who has had benevolent encounters with extraterrestrials. And in the final week, this month, we'll talk about something called the zero point, kind of an amalgamation of spirituality and quantum physics. Plus, every topic we cover here, if you think about it, has something to do with interdimensional communications, whether it's with spirit contact, if you talk with God, or angelic contact, extraterrestrials, even fairies or spirit guides, all in an interdimensional means. It is, in essence, the future of the supernatural, paranormal, psychic, and so-called New Age industries, and the future starts today with an essential broadcast with our honored guest, Caroline Oceana Ryan, who we're delighted to feature today, and we'll bring her on in just a bit, but first a few thoughts. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. that from the 1967 hit song Age of Aquarius by a group called The Fifth Dimension, interestingly enough, since we will talk about fifth dimensional living today. And that song from the Broadway show Hair, which was very popular in the late 60s, early 70s. And here, nearly 50 years later, brings a much more prevalent meaning, taking us to December 21st of 2012, and all this talk in the New Age industry about something called the shift, generally brought about by the so-called end of the Mayan calendar, though it was really more like a new section of said calendar, where, similar to Y2K, was another potential doomsday scenario that never manifested. The planets were all supposed to align together, erasing gravity as we know it, and thereby erasing us. Of course, that never occurred. But that shift that they talk about back then is actually seeming to manifest now, with major eclipses combing the United States a few months back, and 5 months in a row that featured major full moons and major new moons, and a rather unusual bombardment of solar winds and coronal mass ejections from the sun, thought specifically unusual with our sun entering its so-called quiet phase. All these charged particles from the sun really affecting people, thought sensitives, empaths, or psychics, making them feel unusually exhausted or over-emotional for seemingly no reason. So if that's been going on with you for the last 5 months or so, that could be it. Some of that further translating to the thought that we're leaving the age of Pisces behind and entering into the age of Aquarius, as every 2,000 years or so, we transition into a new age based on the sun, its position of its equator, entering into a different constellation, each constellation part of the 12 signs of the zodiac, and thought to enhance the cultures of each 2,000-year time period with traits of that zodiac sign. The age of Pisces significant to the birth of Christianity, which could bring us closer to spirituality, yet also thought a time of deception and secret societies as well. And Pisces are two fish basically swimming away from each other. So the one fish, on the one hand, you got the spirituality, and the other thought a time of deception and secret societies. Now with the Aquarius, the water bearer, the age of Aquarius is thought to feature a merge of the material and the spiritual, where rather than secrets and mysticism accompanying the divine, Aquarius brings with it a balance to everything, with emphasis placed on universal laws and universal communication. Universal laws is seen as apart from religious dogma per se, but follows what types of rules may hold up with interdimensional communications. For example, spirit mediums, when pondering if there are moral and ethical laws that transcend one's lifetime, like are the dead held to some standard, for example. People who feel as though they've communicated with extraterrestrials say remarkably similar things, whether they were considered abductees or experiencers, mention these extraterrestrials use telepathic forms of communication based on either energy waves built upon principles all life forms would know, like the energy of fear or peace, or bad intent or good intent, energy of happiness or disconcertion, and using codes or symbols in their telepathic communication that could be surmised by the recipient, like equivocating a heart with emotion, for example, or numbers with significant meanings like birth years, or smiling faces or frowning faces to pass on one's state of mind, things like that. And universal law is something that comes from the ancient Greeks or Hindus. There are between 7 and 20 universal laws, depending on the source, but at least 7, including mutable and unmutable laws, or changeable or unchangeable, if you prefer. For example, the law of mentalism states there is a universal consciousness. The mind is everything, and consciousness is the energy of the mind. Consciousness, thought an energy that is multidimensional, according to many scientific circles today. Even Max Planck, famous for the laws of quantum mechanics some 80 years ago or so, said it was not in his own mind possible to formulate the laws of quantum mechanics in a way fully consistent without reference to consciousness. Take that, scientists. The law of correspondence is a law of harmony, also known as above, so below, and as below, so above, where everything connects and corresponds, and there's harmony within. The law of vibration is the third unmutable or unchangeable law, where energy is movement. Everything vibrates, everything moves. Mutable laws include the law of polarity, citing dualities or opposites. Though opposites are thought remarkably similar to each other, and it's our state of mind that can mend them or makes them different. Or the law of rhythm, where everything flows or has tides, like what goes up must come down, and it's up to us to accept that. And the law of cause and effect, which basically speaks for itself, which again, more in the mind than in reality. And the law of gender, where there are masculine and feminine features to our perception of everything. Other universal laws, again, depend on the source, but a big one in the last 20 years or so has been the law of attraction. Heard of that one a lot, right? So we'll give that an honorable mention here, which states that things that we think or say or do or feel all produce energy, and that energy attracts similar energies that manifest our surroundings. In other words, we attract people or things into our lives through our intent. We might even talk about that today with our guest, which brings us to our Word of the Week. Every week we have a Word of the Week that's either pertinent to our guest or in honor of our guest. And our Word of the Week this week is, Lightworker. Lightworker. Now we'll ask our honored guest, Caroline Oceana Ryan, to define lightworker for us, but I found a generic definition, if you will, thanks to the internet, of what a lightworker is. Now, lightworkers are souls who carry the strong inner desire to spread light, whether that be knowledge, love, freedom, and self-love here on Earth. Since this is their mission, they're often attracted to spirituality and to therapeutic work of some kind. Many lightworkers thought to be healers, especially in the Reiki sense. Sometimes lightworkers can be lumped in with empaths, who can generally feel the emotions of others without even having to speak to them, or in some cases even be near them. Or earth angels, those who seem to do the work of angels, though not incarnated from actual angels. And again, we'll ask Caroline Oceana Ryan for her personal definitions of these. And I'll mention once more that the hope throughout this broadcast is that perhaps some of you listening may relate to the light worker, the empath, earth angel, or starseed, may perhaps be one of these without knowing, and maybe will set a light off in their minds today. Just in time for the 11/11 gateway, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show, for November 11th, or 11/11, through January 11th, or 1/11, thought of as the Holy Trinity months. All in all, it's a divine decree and opportunity that says, pay attention to how you're sculpting your life. It shouts, wake up and become your true light. 11/11 is the number of light masters. 11/11 is an encoded light structure of remembrance. It activates the master of light we have always been. This is a biological ascension, and 11/11 is the ascension doorway. We ascend and descend continually, word by word, thought by thought. Ascension is birthed from every breath, every word, every action. The 11/11 doorway begins its galvanization on November 11th, 2017 through January 11th, 2018. It's a gateway into your highest potential as a human seeking divine memory. This doorway offers an opportunity to surpass any limitations you have unknowingly set for yourself. That definition I took off a site called Quantum Awakening, so credit them for that. You know, again, definitions off the internet. And it seemed like a definition that might resonate with you all. So now it is my honor to present our special guest, Caroline Oceana Ryan. She's authored a series of books, two of which are part of the Ascension Manual series, Ascension Manual Part 1 and Part 2. They're collections of channelings from The Collective, which is a group of light beings, including angels, archangels, and ascended masters, that offer their wisdom on various parts of ascension, including abundance, relationships, life purpose, and many other topics. Other books from Caroline include Abundance for All, which talks about the energy of our currency and changing our abundance blueprints. Fascinating stuff. Caroline also has a book called Connections, which talks about relationships pertinent to those of us who are light workers. And Caroline has a very popular weekly series called A Message to Light Workers, which are weekly channelings from the collective and accessible through email subscriptions and also featured on YouTube through the very popular channel called Higher Self. So let's bring her on, shall we? Ladies and gentlemen, it is with the greatest honor I introduce to you this most fascinating and wonderful woman. Please welcome Caroline Oceana Ryan. Hello, Caroline, and welcome to Kindness Beyond the Veil.
Hello, Chip. Thank you so much. I'm not sure I can live up to that introduction, but you're very
well, in my heart and mind, you do. So if that's any consolation. Well, I've followed your work for a long time now. And look, I guess I'll divulge this. I think I have in the past on this program. You know, I am trying to work with ascension. That is something relatively new to me. The thought of light worker, also I embrace, and it's relatively new to me. So I'm going to cover a lot of these topics as though we may have some people listening that haven't heard of them or are not familiar with them. Especially not as much as I am, and definitely not as much as you are. So, with the following thought in mind, that maybe somebody listening is a light worker, earth angel, or star seed, and they don't know it yet. Now, that's really the hope behind this program. I think this particular episode is why I brought the show on in the first place. You know, maybe we can, inspire hope in everyday life, even dealing with sometimes rather dark topics, although not today. With that said, at least in your mind, how would you define a light worker? The one that I pulled off the internet, was that even close? I mean, how would you define it?
I would say that's not a bad definition at all. The thing is that everyone's going to define that term according to their own experience, and I think that's fine, and it's important to value individual experience and not create this sort of the bizarre idea of a new age dogma in which we're all supposed to argue one definition against the other. And I'm of course not saying that you're doing this, but this does happen in our community.
Oh, and especially in this day and age.
Out of it. Yeah. Well, what we're doing is we're shaking off the shackles of really thousands of years of training, maybe millions of years of training in organized religion of one kind or another. And, it's really time to go beyond just what we learn and grasp with our left brain rational reasoning ability, and to really experience from the heart. Many of the ancient mystery schools spoke of this. They were highly experiential. It wasn't just a matter of memorizing some old text and, you know, making sure you live by the letter of it at every moment. It was heart-based. Individualism was allowed, and this is what we're going back to in this beautiful era when so much higher light is pouring into the earth, you know? Right. So for me, a light worker is someone who is experiencing the ascension process, and if they don't ascend into their fifth dimensional, you know, self and fully develop their light body, become an ascended master while still on the earth, that's fine. They continue ascending in whatever form is best for them next. They move on to the next dimension and they leave their body. It's not that they fail to ascend, it's just that they're doing it in a slightly different way. But what people are aiming for these days is to actually experience what I think we've all experienced before, or else we wouldn't be here on Earth doing this now, which is moving into the ascended master realm of working through all of the old karma. All the old pain and density and darkness that we dealt in past lives, past incarnations, maybe even in between dimensions or in between lives in the higher dimensions or the lower ones. And we're just releasing all of that. We're dissolving it. We're anchoring this beautiful higher light coming in now so as to aid Earth in her ascension and to shift human consciousness in general, you know, to a higher level. So that's what I see us doing. We're working with light. We're anchoring it. Most of that is totally unconscious, I think. And we're experiencing much more consciously our own path, our own journey, back into the higher realms from which we came.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And again, going back to what you said at very first, which is a lot of it depends on, I guess, our preconceptions of what we anticipate a light worker to be. Speaking personally, just, you know, in an attempt to fully connect to this point, there has been such a period of time, I would say maybe 20 years, where the entertainment industry has gotten seemingly mean-spirited. You know, I mean, even escapist entertainment like horror films are closer to the kind of terrorism that you might see on the daily news rather than fantasies yes. about Freddy Krueger coming into your sleep and bringing up the, philosophical aspects. You know, is the whole thing a dream, or, you know, is this each dream independent to your life, you know, that sort of thing. But with all of that, and now with the politics and you know, again, 10-plus years of each side becoming more a belief than an opinion, and people are not listening to the other side anymore. They're yelling over each side, and it's rather a hard thing to see, but we also get it from reality television, where we're learning that ruder people are probably more interesting than non-rude yes. people, because rude people seem to get shows and then offshoots of those shows. Yeah. My wife loves the yeah. Real Housewives. I can't even watch that. You know, I guess I'm too sensitive for it. Which kind of will bring up a question about empaths in a moment. But I think that my hope in taking on light work when I started is creating a balance. You know, there is a divine energy, like in divine love and divine light, that seems to be offset by way too much lower vibrational frequencies of fear-based things. I think that part of the reason I started a show about, you know, fear-based topics that have a benevolent side to them, with the hope that maybe it will inspire people to say, well, if you can find, you know, kindness and hope and these kinds of things, then, you know, you could see it in everyday living. And I think that's my hope in this light work, is finding ways to bring more of a balance to higher vibrational energy, along the lines of that shift that I mentioned in the opener. You know, we thought about that yes. since 2012, and you know, for years, I mean, I was running with it, you know, trying to inspire hope in folks, and nothing seemed to change for them as years went on, but it seems that there is a shift now that is more prevalent than it has been since it was initially mentioned in 2012. Would you agree, you think, that the,
yes.
do you feel the shift?
The last year or two, the energies coming to the earth have been so powerful, and Patty Carter Robles and others point this out, that if those energies had come in even 6 months earlier, we would not have been able to withstand how powerful that vibration was, you know,
right.
physically, but it would have just fallen apart or gone slightly mad. So, you know, I think that what you have been doing all those years is planting seeds that then come to fruition, that start to sprout, you know, in the right circumstances. A lot of people don't have the inner drive to learn spiritually, or to start, just to burst out of their training and start asking questions and start finding out who they are and their real life purpose, as you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But within this light and this new environment we're in, more and more people are doing that. And I get pelted with questions all the time. People are wanting, either just a, you know, one or two question reading or a full channeling session where they're saying, I need to know my life purpose. I can't stand my job anymore. Or, you know, they're in one form of crisis or another. And what the collective has been saying lately is that's not a crisis in this old 3D sense of, things are falling apart. It's a birthing crisis. It's part of the birth, death, rebirth cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're stepping into this whole new environment now where we just feel so differently about our lives, and we have an awareness and an awake sense of purpose. And that just... You know, in the past, Earth life was such that was very hard to create. You know, I think we're in an era now where we could all become ascended masters if we really decided and focused that was going to be what we, you know, moved into, rather than one person out of 5 or 10 or 20 million. That's just an astounding moment in Earth's history.
Yeah.
So, this is absolutely vital. But I know you're going to ask about the difference between empaths and light workers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a big difference.
No.
Empaths are just people who sense energy. Whether or not they feel to be on a path of light is up to them. Now, there are empaths who have absolutely no interest in following a path of light, but they
that makes
are
sense.
More sort
yeah.
of, some of them are more headed on the darker level, and some of them are simply, you know, they haven't chosen yet. But nearly every light worker I ever met was highly empathic. And
yeah.
Those who are empathic and just able to just sense energy, feel, you know, you only have to think something around them and they pick up on it, or they feel it from across the room or in another room in the building. They know when a loved one is in trouble. They carry the weight of the world on them sometimes, because there's
yeah.
many empaths are also natural healers. So there's a big connection there. It's not quite the same, but there's
yeah.
a huge connection, yes.
And it kind of makes sense along the lines. Your answer to me resonates in that, yeah, I never really thought of that. There are empaths that kind of steer toward the negative. I think, look, I'm very sensitive to
yeah.
a lot of emotions, and you know, it's hard for me to leave the house sometimes, some years even.
yeah,
but
sure.
it's similar to yeah. what people do with pain. Some people have pain. And it's what they do with it, you know. Some people want others to feel as miserable as they feel. So they reach
yeah,
out in an effort to kind of, yeah, be a psychic vampire or just drain people
yes.
of these energies. And some mm-hmm. people say, oh, I just want the whole world to feel better. So that's where I'm concentrating my energy or my light. And yeah, that,
yeah.
You know, a bell kind of went off in my head.
Exactly. Yeah. The I was just going to say the dividing line is whether someone is oriented to service to self or service to others.
Mm.
And the light worker is service to others oriented.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it almost seems rude to, you know, want all this stuff for yourself when you can do it for others. I guess, you know, I'm thinking I've seen it in 20-year cycles in the 1970s and the 1990s and now in the 2010s, the political atmosphere and the social atmosphere gets heavier and heavier, you know, and after a while you see that everybody's kind of walking around with their heads down, which is, you know, describes latter day perfectly. You know, people are walking around with their heads down, but eventually they start looking up and they start looking for sources of inspiration. I think we had a guy named Leo Biscaglia back in the 70s. I don't know if you're familiar with Leo
mm-hmm.
Biscaglia.
Of course.
Yeah, it was beautiful guy. I, of all places, it was a course I took in nonverbal communication. It was a psychology course. And they featured Leo Biscaglia, and why, I don't know, but it was a blessing as far as I'm concerned. And for people that don't know who Leo Biscaglia was, yeah, he was a guy that his basic phrase was kindness begets kindness. It's kind of, before the law of attraction was out. This is, you know, if you do kind things to others, then it comes back around to you, you know. A smile begets a smile. A kindness begets a kindness. He used to talk about, you know, he was a hugger and he loved hugging people and, and he saw how alarmed some folks would be over something as simple as a hug, you know. And
yeah.
And I guess I just like that tone of things. It just resonated with me. And, you know, my sister calls them angel moments, you know, when you just smile at random and see how many people smile back or compliment somebody because you feel that they've earned a compliment, you know, not to manipulate, mm-hmm. not to try to gain up the social ladder. You know, it's just for the sake of doing something nice, you know.
Well, what Biscaglia tapped into was the high heart, the heart-based life, and coming out of the ego mind, which the collective talk about a lot.
Mm.
The ego mind says, take care of yourself. Look out for that guy. You don't know what his game is. Just look, you know, keep your nose out of other people's stuff because, you know, it's none of your business. If they're in trouble, just leave them. And you might end up in trouble trying to help them and
right.
on and on. And
right.
the high heart says, you know, I'm going to stay in the present moment. I know I'm completely protected. I know I'm divinely, you know, guided. If people don't like the word divine, that's all right. Think of, you know, your higher self leading you or your soul or just your own higher aspect. You know, and you're not going to sweat every moment and wonder who's going to get at you next. You're just going to release that tendency, even if you've been harmed in the past in life, which is difficult if one has been through child abuse. But, you know, you learn how to create boundaries if you don't have them. And then you learn to release the need for constant self-protection. And you can be an open-hearted person and create those angel moments where you're able to hug someone without self-consciousness. And right. That's very beautiful. Even if someone's shocked at that, they are on a whole other level, might well be touched by it. It might take them a minute or two to recuperate.
Right.
But, you know, maybe it's something they were really crying out for, that kind of beautiful heart connection.
Yeah.
So I think that he was sort of a wonderful sort of, you know, forebearer or a path maker for us into this, this era we're in now, where, yes, things are very heavy politically, but that's because so much rubbish is coming up to the surface. In this incredible light coming in now to this planet, everything that's been hidden is going to be exposed. All of it, all of the hideous crimes of Wall Street, Washington, Hollywood, all of it. You know, London and the royal families of the world, the Vatican, all of that's going to come to light because the veil is dissolving. And the dark hat always depended on the veil being there. They could always depend on illusion. They could always depend on their matrix, but that is being dissolved. And that's the joyous thing about living in this era. And I know it's rough. I know the economy is crazy. Things look very shaky politically. But we've got to just keep our eye on what's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And spend time in meditation. Get the heck away from the news. And sit quietly with your as I call them, spirit team or support team of spirit guides, angelic guardians, and higher self, and sit down and talk with them and say, what do I need to know? Or pour out whatever you're going through and listen inwardly. And people will sometimes say to me, I don't know that I can trust what I hear, or I can't hear anything. At that point, you just say to them, look, infuse my thinking with your, you know, your higher wisdom. Pop ideas into my head that come directly from you, and I'll know that they're full of light. I know that they feel right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't be in the right way.
And just as you mentioned that the some folks look at something like light work and see it as, well, I just don't have enough energy to direct toward that kind of goal because I'm so busy. I get a similar thing from an awful lot of people. We were just talking about meditation and, you know, that's, I mean, putting 20 minutes aside to relax each and every day sounds like an impossibility to a lot of folks, you know, and I get that, you know, in the sense that news cycle doesn't let you slow down. Work cycle doesn't let you slow down. If you got kids or family that you have to attend to, doesn't give you a chance to slow down. But, you know, if you seek it, you can find it. I think if you build it, they will come. Do you find it with a lot of clients that same thing where people think I just don't have 20 minutes to relax or I don't take direction well. That's another thing I get from recommending guided meditations or things. I get a lot of people who say, look, I don't want to follow, you know, what somebody else tells me. I don't have that trust cycle. You know, I generally recommend binaural beats to people because then, they don't have to relax or force themselves to relax. They can just listen to these tones and calm down. And any advice you might have for people that just don't feel like it's possible to relax 20 minutes a day?
It's a huge issue, and I'm glad you brought it up. I know a lot of people suffer from an overstuffed schedule. If you can cut down on television, that's a big help because they're not taking into account that they watch at least an hour or two, if not 3, 4, 5 hours of TV every day. If you can get up 10 or 15 minutes earlier, I know that's hard, but that's your quiet time. If you can do it before anyone else is up, if you can schedule that meeting with your support team first thing in the morning, and you will do it if it's important. If you had a newborn to feed at 4 a.m., you would be up with that baby. More likely the women than the men, I'm suddenly realizing. But let's say if you were a mother, regardless of what gender you are, you would be up feeding that child, and this is probably as important. It's absolutely vital. We have to tap into this wisdom or else we're running in circles or trying to create something and we're not doing it on a higher level. We're doing it on the old third dimensional level of running around you know, outwardly doing all these outer actions, trying to make things fit, we might be running up the wrong path. When our team will say to us, you know, no, don't apply at that company. What about this one? And they'll be really clear. And you're thinking, I don't know. I don't think there's anything there for me. And then you start to tap into it. And you see, okay, wait a minute. This is exactly the kind of work I want to do. Or, you know, I've had them nudge me, even for something as small as go see this movie instead of that one. And I don't understand it. And I argue with them. When they told me to move to Sedona, Arizona, I spent 3 or 4 months saying, are you sure? You know, but when you follow through, it all falls into place. And once you get used to that, then you stop sweating bullets every minute, trying to figure out what's best. How do I get out of this money pit I'm in? How do I get out of this dead-end job? What do I do with this marriage that's ended, basically? We're just still going through the motions, living together. And you start getting a higher view of things so that you realize, you know, I can really kind of have a little bit of control in life instead of feeling always put upon or always at the mercy of my circumstances, which is how we're taught to live. You know, just live, however, and then react instead of being very mindful, very aware, very much in the high heart, in the present moment, calling on your higher wisdom. There's muscle testing if you want a quick answer from your guides. You know, that's the sort of thing where you just sit with palms facing up and pretend one hand holds the answer yes and hold one other one holds the answer no. And you can do a quick test, ask a question like, you know, am I a man? And then see what the answer is. Am I a woman? Or am I a cat? Or what have you? And see what the answer is. And you come to trust it. And then once you trust it, you can come just, you know, start asking questions you need a yes or no to. And I find it tremendously helpful sometimes, even though I can quite clearly hear my guides. I find that sort of thing very helpful. And yes, it does take some time to not just hear them, but to trust them. That's what took me a while, to trust what they were saying. Because I talked very easily with my guides as a child.
Oh, I do now, too. But yeah, it took a while. And I think... It's trusting in your own ability to rate, you know, to be able to trust these invisible interdimensional beings, you know, that have basically been with you since birth and are part of your collective unconscious, really. But I think in addition to people not being able to relax, the next most popular thing that I hear as an excuse, and I think it stems from what I call the three bad kings, which are ego, fear, and doubt. But that people can never manage to pin down their first meeting with a spirit guide. It seems to be a source of tremendous difficulty for folks. You know, do you find that with people that you talk to?
Well, yes. I mean, you don't always have to have a clear image of who they are, your guides. Some people have one, some have two or three. You have angels always with you, at least two, I think. Everyone has at least two. Some people have, you know, three, four or more. And your higher self, and they all sort of speak in unison, I think. You know, I don't think it's something you can apply too much thought to. You have to sit down and just ask for divine wisdom of that which is of the office of Christ and only of the office of the Christ, which doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. It has to do with Christ as in, you know, divinity, as in the
Christ consciousness.
Crystalline. The crystalline energy consciousness, which is fifth dimensional. We're becoming crystalline. Our very cells are going from carbon to crystalline. So that's all you're doing is tapping into that higher source. And it doesn't have anything to do with religion. It goes way, way beyond that. And you have to specify that sometimes because it's true that other voices will come in if they think you're sort of susceptible.
Right.
It's not very aware yet. But, I mean, once you practice it, it's sort of an exciting, interesting thing to find out, you know, where is that voice? And it's not always the first voice that answers. If you're not used to listening to, you know, you're inwardly to your spirit team, it might be a quieter voice that comes a bit after. Something jumps in and answers you immediately. So, you know, it just takes some practice. But like I say, the muscle testing can be of help. Asking for infused thought, that's asking that they infuse your own thought with their ideas and their solutions is very helpful. We've all had that moment where out of the blue, the right idea or the right solution just pops in and it's got this beautiful light around it.
Yeah,
and
right.
You've got some peace of mind suddenly. You know, it's amazing. Yeah. It's a beautiful moment. It is.
Yeah. It's a fun thing to watch some of my friends grapple through, you know, when they're really starting to deal with their spirit guides for the first time, and separating the inner dialogue, you know, things you hear in your head. Which is the guide talking? Which is my inner dialogue? And what's the difference? And which is my subconscious? And which is my conscience? And it's fun watching them grapple with that. You know, I still do too. I mean, you know, to this day, I mean, I've learned things. I've been working with my guides, I think, for about 12 years now, minimum. And there are things that I learn about them, you know, for the first time, even after all these years, you know. I have some guides with names I've been mispronouncing for 12 years, and that's almost embarrassing.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter. You could call them anything. You could call them Harry and Lenny or Susie and Patricia. They don't care. You know, like right now, my team are laughing because we emphasize names so much. And a skilled psychic like my friend Omina McGee, she would be able to tell you your guide's names. The collective don't emphasize names any more than they emphasize for people, you know, if they feel they're star seeds, they were born on other planets. They don't like people to only sort of squeeze themselves into a category, oh, I'm Arcturian, therefore I'm like this, like that, because all of us are a mixture, a beautiful mixture. From different stars and different planets, and you know, we love these identifiers, these social identifiers. We keep trying to carry third dimensional forms into fifth dimensional life, and I'm not sure it's going to work.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to balance. And again, I think a lot of it is the three bad kings: ego, fear, and doubt, because it puts voices in our heads, and we're used to things a certain way, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I had the same difficulties when talking with discarnate energies, spirits of the dead, if you will. You know, separating, you know, the time structure of the living from the time structure of the dead. You know,
yeah,
living
they
have
don't
these,
really have one.
No, I mean, the living have these hearts that beat twice a second, and we are, because of that rhythm system, enslaved to time, you know, and every moment it's... You know, and we see life as an arrow of time, not like the physicists do, but it's just what's past is past, what's future we don't know yet, and it's all about the moment, and these moments have schedules. Time to work, time to eat, time to sleep, and, you know, we better make it on time, you know, and the dead don't have that hurry, you know. They know when their time is up and that urgency is gone, you know.
I think it's true. They're freed. And I think we're coming into a time when the whole nature of time is changing. You know, Einstein talked about how flexible, how elastic time was. And I'm starting to understand what he means. There are times when I can't believe an hour hasn't gone by, and other times an hour or two goes by, and I think it was only 20 minutes.
Right.
And apparently time is moving a lot faster than it ever used to. And that's because it's collapsing. We're coming into a time of which makes sounds kind of funny, a time of no time, but we're coming into living without reference to clocks. You know, the third dimension is stuck in time, but the fourth dimension, which is time, is actually sort of collapsed. So as we move into the fifth dimension, it's a whole astral plane, etc. But as we move into the fifth dimension, that's a huge change. We're not going to think about time the way we used to. We're not going to live in reference to clocks.
Yeah.
It's going to be just amazing.
And as a curiosity, because I mentioned it in the opener, you know, the Age of Aquarius, and it's actually one of the listeners who sent something to me on Facebook about that, and it kind of inspired me to do that in the opener, because it is a thought. Some people say 2012, some people say it won't happen for another 130 years, some people say it started in 1492, you know. Do you have a general sense at all? The Age of Aquarius is upon us yet, or is this just because we're in a new century and we've got computers and technology is changing and our understanding of science is changing?
Sure. Now, we're leaving the Kali Yuga. The Hindus had these, you know, four ages, and the Kali Yuga was the age of destruction. And we're moving into, in the next part of the cycle, we're moving into the Satya or Sat Yuga, which is the golden age. So I believe it's already begun. We've already started to walk through that portal for myself. So I'm not waiting. I will say people get stuck on schedules and channelings and all kinds of forecasts and foretellings, because that's how we've been trained to think. And we get controlled very easily that way. I would say to each person, if you think this is the golden age, you're going to have a much more pleasant day than someone who thinks we're still stuck in the age of destruction. So right. Why don't you and I, with our higher energies, our raised energies, go out and recreate this whole world, you know? In our
I love your life. Answer. You know, I'm not waiting for it. I'm in the middle of it now. I think that's brilliant.
Dude, absolutely.
It's phenomenal.
Same thing with every good thing we want to experience. And there's our law being enacted and there being justice and, you know, a new currency, a new system, economic system that is fair and just and equal, all of it, world peace, anything. Don't wait. Carry that vibration, live it, celebrate it, be joyful about it right now. And then it has to happen because you and I are co-creators. We're not just passive recipients of what happens. That's what we were taught. That's a complete lie. We know better than that.
No, I think people look at their lives as a picture and they say, what's wrong with this picture? I think we all have a habit of doing that, you know. But if you look at that picture and say, well, this is what I like about this picture, you know. I like how my hair came out in that one, you know. I have a great butt. You know, I mean, whatever you come up with, I mean, there's something good. And I think whatever you find the most has a lot to do with what you seek the most. So if you're saying, okay, well, I'm in the age of Aquarius now, I'm going to make it happen, you know, or the golden age, which I the term I like even better. It's like a light went off in my head. You know,
sure,
why not, you know, bring it.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah, let's create it. Sure. And we're all doing that, anchoring these energies.
Back to, I got another light worker question because, look, I hear, a lot of people talking about light warriors, you know, and I'm not a warrior guy. I'm a very passive person, you know. I don't want to think of myself as a warrior. You know, I'm fighting perhaps to set off a balance, to bring more of a balance between higher energy or higher vibration and lower vibration, just to create the balance, to end this duality, you know, or have the lower vibrations win. So are there light workers that could be light warriors if they think in terms of everything's a battle? Can there be light workers that are light
that's
warriors?
A good question. Because the word warrior does seem to invite the idea of a battle, and it's not necessary. It's really not necessary to think, really, you know, you can be a warrior for peace. And all that is that you're taking, just like Archangel Michael has his sword Excalibur, his sword of truth, and he's able to cut through any etheric cords you and I have that attaches to old experiences or people or places or belief systems or old vows we took in this life or any life that are no longer for a higher good. Might have been, you know, to some religious group that, and it's still not, that etheric cord is still there and it's draining our life energy. He's able to just cut through that. Even if we don't know what cords are there, he's able to do that. You just ask. Mm-hmm. And I do it at the start of every single channeling session. And so there's a sense to which, if you're carrying the sword and the shield, you're just establishing peace, you're establishing justice and mercy. And you're establishing that there's a new higher order and that you're not going to allow yourself and other people to be lied to anymore, to be covered in deception, not going to allow human life or life in this or any dimension to be covered in deception. And there are times in which, yes, there's a clash of energy, you know, in the different realms, and one set of beings will declare war on another. And there are some who will take up, you know, sword and shield in that moment. But I don't always think of it as going into battle, no. I think of it as people who are breaking through the old, who are breaking up that old illusion, that old network of lies and deception, and who are establishing a whole new status for humankind, a whole new level of living in the light, being honest, being truthful. And, you know, we're peace warriors.
Yeah, peace warriors.
You know, if that makes sense.
That.
I wouldn't,
yeah,
I don't ever think of myself as engaging in battle in a violent way. Not at all, but I do think of myself as having to take a strong stance. A lot.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, I want to take a strong stance to help heal others if I can, to utilize this energy, you know, to serve the greater good, basically. you know, help the divine energies along to balance out some of the lower vibrational stuff that we seem overtly surrounded by. I wanted to ask you about earth angels, and I will again, and forgive me, listeners, for this, make this a little personal. I was on my path to ascension, and I got some ascension questions for you, too, of course. But I wanted to get a better grasp of my purpose or my calling. I think that's kind of big for people on the path to ascension or for light work. And I asked for a sign, and within 3 days I got these age wrinkles on my forehead that make the shape of an angel right where the third eye is, but only when I look empathically concerned. It was just kind of weird, but I think I got my answer. But, you know, look, I don't want to think of myself in grandiose terms. Oh, well, you know, boy, you're angelic, you're divine. That's almost too much pressure. But I do, you know, think of the term earth angel, and in reference to a light worker, do you think there are differences, really? Do you see earth angel as something different at all?
I've met earth angels. They're the light workers who are really paving a higher path for all of humankind and for those of us who are sort of with them, but maybe not quite on their level. I'm not going to name some. Some of them are pretty well-known spiritual teachers, and others not at all known to the wide world, but they are anchoring these higher energies and healing people and releasing them from this sort of, you know, this network of false ideas, of trauma, of, you know, just a lot of sort of mental and emotional traps that they haven't been able to get out of on their own. And these are just astounding human beings. So I absolutely believe in earth angels, just as I believe there are fairy folk who incarnate as humans. Some of them they're very often very concerned about the environment, because the fairy folk work with, you know, plants and trees and cleansing the air and purifying the oceans and the rivers. We wouldn't have made it without them so far. Crops, that sort of thing. They watch over animals. You know, it's not that I don't think every light worker is an incarnated angel, but you could call them an earth angel in the sense that they're doing angelic work, which I think is a very beautiful idea. So that's just how I see it, yeah.
Okay. Well, no, that paints a clear picture, and I sure appreciate that answer. I'm gonna kind of, this one's been on my mind since minute one, so I'm gonna ask it now, because you've written two really wonderful books about ascension, the Ascension Guides. My question is almost a cheapie. How would you know if you become an ascended master? Is that something you can accomplish in life, or is that something?
That's ascension, basically. That's the process of ascension. You are, you know, as I was saying earlier, you're working through all this old karma, this old density you've accumulated in past lives or in this one. You're learning to forgive. You're learning to see yourself as being made of light. You're developing your light body, which is a little different from your etheric body. It's your spirit, your soul essence, expressed in crystalline form and is pure light. And you're also, you're coming into the path of service on a whole higher level than what most people are really able to grasp. You've overcome ego. You've released everything having to do with it. You're no longer fear-based or survival-based. You're no longer service-to-self-oriented. You're entirely service to others. And yet you know and love yourself and believe in yourself. There's no gap there. You know that you are as divine as anyone. And we're all divine beings. It's just that we have to bring that forward. We have to get in touch with our divine aspect and stop denying it, stop playing small, stop feeling small. And that takes a lot of work because, you know, all through our upbringing we're reminded, don't think you're more than you are, unless you're one of these very sort of privileged sorts that's sent to all the best schools and taught to be a leader and a controller and manipulator. And I'm not saying everyone who goes to, you know, good schools and universities is a manipulative sort. I went to a few good institutions myself, but the power crowd, as I call them, have been assured that they have every right there is. You and I, the worker class, have been taught we don't only have certain rights, and we're meant to be incredibly thankful for those. You know, we have the right to vote. Well, the problem is an awful lot of our elections, most of them probably, are fixed. It doesn't take much to switch numbers in a computer. Or it doesn't, even when we had paper ballots, you remember in 2000 that all these ballots washed up on the shore in Florida because people had, you know, involved in the counting process had thrown paper ballots into the sea. And we've just seen ridiculous twists in our elections. So even that one basic right that we're supposed to really believe in has been denied us on a lot of levels. And so there's all this sort of questioning now in this new atmosphere of this brilliant light pouring in, where people are sort of, well, wait a minute. We thought we had some rights, but we see now that it's been a ruse. It's been just a matrix of illusion. And we're breaking through that. We're waking up to it. And we're saying, not only do I not need an overlord telling me, you know, work yourself to bits. Maybe you'll get Social Security, maybe not, in your old age. Not only do I not need that, I don't need this guy up front telling me who God is and how evil I am. I can start to see myself as a divine being, and I can start to develop that. But meditating, and like you say, if you don't like a guided meditation, listen to 432 Hertz music. It's very high vibrational, or binaural beats, or to the sounds of nature, of water flowing. You know, you just go to YouTube. You could find crystal bowls.
Oh, right, yeah.
Bowls.
Yeah, I've been there.
Beautiful
the
stuff.
Tibetan bowl things.
Beautiful stuff. So there's almost no excuse anymore not to learn how to get quiet within yourself and tap into that higher aspect, because it's just dying to come through.
Well,
so
anyone can
really, you know, become an ascended master if that is their full intention
and expectation. You know, because we're in this industry, we have come across people that have a false sense of their own grandiosity, and we have seen the bad side of that. So I try to resist it at all costs. I guess my question, again, too personal, and I apologize, but my guides have been referring to me as an ascended master, and I don't believe that.
Well, but you have been one. Though, Chip, as most people listening to this have already ascended in another lifetime, or you wouldn't
right.
be here right now.
True.
So accept that, and the more you accept it, the more it becomes true for this life as well. Really, the time of humility on that level is over. If you get sort of too big for, you know, your britches, as they say, on an ego level, something will pull you back, I guarantee you.
Right.
You'll get sort of pulled back like you would pull a 5-year-old back from running into the street. So I shouldn't worry too much about that. You know, what really holds light workers back is they think too little of themselves. They don't want to take up their path. They get a nudge. They're supposed to start channeling or counseling people or doing this or that. And they just think so little of themselves. They say, oh, I can't do that. And, you know, now is not the time, folks, really. Just let that go, that whole nonsense about, I'm nobody really. Ridiculous. You wouldn't be on the planet right now if you didn't have some powerful, beautiful work to do. And you don't have to be famous for that. You're already doing it etherically, but let yourself experience the joy of using your gifts outwardly, whatever way is right for you.
That answer makes perfect sense to me. I can't thank you enough for that. Now, we're going to take a break here in a minute, just for the listeners. Caroline, Oshie, and Ryan will be back. We'll be talking to the collective. It's a group of light beings, higher beings that she channels. And she has developed a worldwide following for her weekly series, A Message to Light Workers. So we will speak through the collective, through her. And a couple of questions regarding the collective before that. But first, we're going to take a break. You are listening to Kindness Beyond the Veil. This is your host, Chip Reichenthal. My very special and honored guest, Caroline Oceana Ryan, author of the Ascension Manual series, the weekly message to light workers. And she channels the collective, a group of higher beings that can very aptly advise us on the path forward in a higher frequency. Next week, David Franklin Farkas, an international radio host who may have a different take on the kinder side of the metaphysical world. And in a sense, he sees it from overseas. On the 20th, we've got Robert Miles from Time Stream Pictures. They do UFO documentaries. It's his company. He has had benevolent encounters with extraterrestrials. We call him an experiencer. And we end the month with Meg Benedicti talking about the zero point, a fascinating take on interdimensional energies encapsulating both the spiritual and quantum physics world. So a big interdimensional month here on Kindness Beyond the Veil. Again, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Caroline Oshie and Orion right after this. Stay with us.
Becoming customer detected.
I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm.
In 2008, I fell in love.
I will not even go to the strip clubs anymore. Wake the f*** up!
Hi, I'm Bob. I am running.
Other signs of erectile dysfunction may include extreme skin discoloration.
I know black folks have had a hard time with slavery, and you know, the government was in on it, and the government's in on it again.
Smart, handsome, charming, articulate.
If you are the sexual predator and sociopath who murdered my sister Lynette, and you come to my front door to do harm to my girls, I'm going to use my Glock to blow your balls off.
If you have a Boehner lasting longer than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention.
But by 2012, our relationship was in trouble. But I stuck with him because he promised he'd be better. He's great at promises.
I changed my name to cover my past, to cover my bankruptcy.
Keep your plan.
Tell Senator Pryor to stop parroting Obama.
You can keep it.
820,000 of our tax dollars were spent studying how monkeys respond to unfairness.
I'll never pay down what he spent.
Won't let them in, won't let them see that I'm a phony radio disc jockey.
I know I'm stuck with Barack for 2 more years.
And how they act while on cocaine.
Enough of these political ads, right?
So when I get to Washington, I'll stand up to the big spenders.
You vote for Texas. You don't stab her in the back by voting for cloture on Obamacare.
Mitch McConnell wants you to think I'm Barack Obama.
But trying to distract me with this war on women?
We've all heard the one about pigs squealing. But when Joni Ernst had the chance to do something in Iowa, we didn't hear a peep.
Danny Gold, Danny Gold, I can't lie to you anymore. That's my name, Danny Gold, and I've got lies to answer for. Because Danny don't care what you're going to say. Let my lies rage on. Lying never bothered me.
Do you think social media is the end-all be-all? Do you live and breathe by Facebook and other platforms? Do you spend hours and hours endlessly going through posts by alleged friends in an endless quest to have a life? You need Fakeaway, available exclusively through the L&M Radio Network. Our crack scientific teams have worked tirelessly to perfect this product and have made it available to you through this limited offer. Fakeaway can solve the problems suffered by you and many others. It can help you understand you have been snowed by the fake media, the social media biases you encounter every time you click refresh, and even help your hair grow by keeping you from pulling it out over the smallest offenses. Get Fakeaway today, only through L&M Radio Network. Fakeaway is not for shills, disinfo agents, lovers of politicians who keep screwing the country, constant end-of-the-world predictors, liars, hostile radio show hosts, or snowflakes.
Ask 10 different scientists about the environment, population control, genetics, and you'll get 10 different answers. But there's one thing every scientist on the planet agrees on. Whether it happens in 100 years, or 1,000 years, or 1,000,000 years, eventually our sun will grow cold and go out. When that happens, it won't just take us. It'll take Marilyn Monroe, and Lao Tzu, and Einstein, and Morabuto, and Buddy Holly, and Aristophanes, and all of this. All of this was for nothing. Unless we go to the stars.
All righty, and we welcome you back to Kindness Beyond the Veil. This is your host, Chip Reichenthal. Our honored guest is Caroline Oshie and Orion. We are going to talk about and then talk to the collective. Now, she has a weekly series that I've been following for a long time called The Message to Lightworkers, the most recent of which was Most delightful. Now, I subscribe to her through CarolineOceanOrion.com, and I follow her on YouTube on a channel called Higher Self, where her weekly message to lightworkers from the collective is a staple on. Now, I just wanted to ask you, you know, prior to your channeling them, because, again, we talk about spirit guides, and look, I've gotten to know some things about my guides in the past few months that I hadn't known for years and years. I think, you know, some people get different spirit guides. I'm pretty much carrying the same ones, but what I'm learning about them is elevating, if that makes any sense. And of these higher beings that make up this group called the Collective, which you channel, are any of them your spirit guides?
Well, that's a very good question. This is a little bit hard for me to talk about in a way. I had this amazing fellow, Rama Berkowitz, who's actually a Faction 3 White Knight under the Ashtar Command, and he channels Mother Sekhmet, and Mother Sekhmet said that I am, you know, on a very much higher aspect, not my everyday self, but in a much higher aspect, I'm actually part of this group, which isn't something I usually talk about. But I would say that they have been guides to me my whole life. They're just not my individual set of, say, you know, angelic guardians and spirit guides and higher self. I consider them to be separate. In my mind, I hold them separate. Okay. And I feel a lot more comfortable talking to this group of, you know, five or six beings who I call my team, my spirit team.
Because there's a degree of separation?
I think, in a way, I feel like there is, because there's so many, you know, ascended masters and archangels and angels and whatnot, and fairy elders, and on and on and on. In this group, there's like thousands and thousands of them, and in the collective. And it doesn't feel to me as cozy a setting, you know, to talk mm-hmm. about problems, although they have given me beautiful insights at times. And I know that they do lend their wisdom when I ask for it. Certainly it's there. But it's something that I'm almost still getting used to. Even, you know, it's been almost 4 years now since I started, at least 3.5 years since I started channeling them. And in a way, I'm still getting used to the idea, because the energies that come through are so powerful. Yeah. And that's mainly, you know, as I was saying to you earlier, this is mainly what they do. It's 97% energy transmission.
Yeah, and it makes perfect sense to me. Because there's like a professional distance there. I mean, you know, from somebody, yeah. You know, I talk to my guides all the time. You know, sometimes I use dowsing rods, you know, to
sure.
If in case, you know, again, there's always some fear and doubt sometimes, you know, even after 12 or so years dealing with them as an everyday thing, you know, there are always times when, you know, just some days you have more fear and doubt than other days. And, you know, I like to use that or pendulums or things of that nature, you know, for some people, you know, just getting into talking to their guides, you know, or early on in that process. But, boy, that makes perfect sense to me because of that professional distance. I think protocol-wise... Is it best if I just have them speak, or should I ask specific questions?
Yes, that's fine. We'll just bring them in. If they have anything to say, they will. But go ahead and ask questions if you'd like, you know.
Okay.
That's totally fine. Just give me a moment here.
Oh, sure, yeah.
What I like to ask people to do is just take deep breaths into the nose. I'm going to stay at the top of that breath for a moment and then let out through the mouth, a sort of a ha sound. And it just takes you out of the busyness of the mind. If you just keep doing that, puts you in the heart space. And it also relaxes, I think, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear them in just a moment. Well, greetings, dear ones. We are very pleased to have this time to speak with you today. I'm very thrilled to hear all of these beautiful issues and topics brought to the forefront, because in this era in which you live, you are experiencing that which human beings have not seen since the time, perhaps, of Atlantis and Lemuria, at least on Earth's surface. But those in inner Earth are experiencing something entirely different. Those are higher dimensional forms of living in certain parts of the inner Earth, at any rate. And so there are beautiful places on this Earth which experience dimensions, and going to the ninth and tenth and higher dimensions. But for the most part, what people have seen for millennia is what is called the third dimension. And we see you moving beyond this now with this beautiful restlessness, this beautiful refusal to accept anything less than pure light and pure love as defining your day, defining who you are, as you are yourselves divine beings, as was said earlier. And so we are so full of thanks for the beauty of your light and the beauty of your presence and the transformative power of that, as we're full of thanks for this dear gentleman who is hosting this very important show. And understand that it's similar to how a signal goes out from a radio show or television or what have you. You are a transmitter. You are certainly a receiver, but you are very powerfully, each of you, transmitters. And what you are transmitting is a higher form of consciousness. So that really encourages people to look at their lives very, very differently. And they stop thinking of themselves purely as those who would simply function, who would fulfill roles in relation to their culture or their loved ones or those around them socially. And they begin to say, well, what is my higher purpose here? What's the most joyful thing I could do? What's the most creative and interesting thing I could do? What's my passion? What really gives me joy? What really gets me going? I'm thrilled that I'm on the earth this time. What fills me with a sense of wonder and amazement? So people are asking this now in ways that they haven't asked in many thousands of years. And of course, your old overlords, as they've been called, are really in a muddle about this because they don't like people asking questions, but it's well out of their hands now, and they know that. So you're going to see some desperate behavior in these days, yes. And things appear to be in a muddle and a bit of chaos and disruption. But as the writer was saying earlier, it has more to do with birth. It's the chaos of creation. It's not the old third dimensional sense of, well, things are falling apart. I have to feel bad. I'm stuck in my circumstances. I haven't got any way to create anything better. I have to deal with what I have. And people are absolutely waking up and coming out of this, dear ones. And you see it all the time. You see people creating organizations and their own schools, their own businesses, their own healing practices, their own, organizations for social change, because they're striking out of their own and their consciousness has stepped away from that which you have been trained in for so long. It's just too small. It doesn't suit you anymore. And as well, it doesn't hold enough light. And you all hold increasing levels of light. All that means is more joy, more fulfillment, more abundance, more love of any kind that you wish to invite into your life, and more sense of your own beauty, your own invaluable gifts to humankind and to the earth. And she senses it and she rejoices with you. And we would just encourage everyone to spend more time with Mother Earth, to sit or lie upon the earth, if weather's permitting, particularly with bare feet or bare hands on the earth, and just feel the pulse of Mother Earth's true heart, and let her take from you the toxicity that you have been carrying from your environment or past experiences or something you're struggling with at the moment. Without blaming yourself or anyone else, just say to Mother, take this from me, and just cleanse my energies, and she is able to do that. And, you know, likewise, when you think of eating something, what's the highest vibrational food you could draw to yourself right now? Can you get a structured water filter so that you're drinking water that is really pure and full of life and not so processed that it just sort of mimics real water? Can you spend time out wherever there's trees so that you're breathing in real air? Every day, try to take a little bit of time outdoors, even if it's only a few minutes, because the body is meant to be outdoors. The body is meant to connect with its own spirit through nature. And this is why you will have heard some writers say that nature is what I see as the divine. And that is a beautiful idea, absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful demonstration of the divine, as I do. And you are reminded of that as you're out in nature. So we just give you that, dear ones, and we're flowing energies to you, each of you, for your own path, for your own sense of joy and life purpose and fulfillment, and to ease up on the pressures, the inner pressures you are feeling at the moment, whether it's about finances or work or relationships or health or the world at large. We're flowing energies to you that you will open up more to hear more of the guidance of your higher self and those who love you so much, who have been with you since the womb and before. You know, you met with these beautiful guides and angels and higher self in the higher realms before you incarnated, and you worked very hard with them. Determine, what am I meant to learn in this life? Am I going to ascend while still in the body? What have I got to finish in terms of old soul contracts with others? What have I got to contribute? What have I got to push through and dissolve, which was from past lives or other times and in the time-space dimensions? It really needs to be resolved or dissolved now. And so they know you inside and out. And they are your wonderful sort of staff of support helpers. So call upon them, dear ones. Absolutely call upon them. And so if you have a question, we are most assuredly happy to assist.
Well, thank you so much. It is the greatest honor to speak with you. I just wanted to let you know that. I think the real hope of today's broadcast, especially with you all, is that we have people listening, and I think part of what you said has covered that, but I just wanted to ask specifically anyway, if there are people listening that might be a light worker, an earth angel, a starseed, or a divine empath that may not know it yet, do you get a sense that... my hope is manifesting that we do have people listening in that perhaps are light workers or earth angels and just haven't fallen upon that thought stream yet.
Yes, indeed. And what we see as part of your life purpose, dear one, is that you particularly speak to those who are searching for one might call spiritual or energetic higher vibration, for a direction, for guidance that leads them on their own higher path, but they are not necessarily predisposed toward going to the spiritual growth area of the bookstore or the Facebook, you know, social media, etc. They're not going to look there. They might be more science-orientated. They might be a bit more, might be political, historical. They just have a different outlook other than what most people will call, you're a spiritual sort. And that is fine, but what you are transmitting to them is something which returns them to their own higher levels, their own higher aspect, the high heart. And, you're doing that energetically. So the words you use, though intriguing, and, you create a fascinating discussion with your show, really 80 to 90% of what you offer is energetic. And, in fact, this is what nearly anyone does who is empathic and full of concern and compassion for the world. They are beaming out a form of energy transmission which helps people return to their own higher self. And there are different ways of doing this. There are different areas of emphasis, different issues that different light workers tackle, but this is what we see you doing. And we would say to anyone listening, you don't have to call yourself a light worker or earth angel or empath, anything like it, if you don't feel comfortable with that. You might just like the term seeker, or a learner, or one who is on the path of life, and choose the words that you're comfortable with culturally or personally, because what the important thing is for you now is to determine what is most important to you and to allow yourself that, and as well to allow that there are those who are constantly by your side and willing to engage in that discussion and to lend their wisdom and insight, and that you are never alone in your journey. That's the important thing to think of now, not do I fit in with this group or this philosophy or that. We would not worry. We would not stress over such things. This is not what you came in for. This is not who you are, to simply fit into a group and win approval. You're actually moving well beyond that. So we would say the shows such as this are a beautiful example of a door opening, a lot of light pouring out of it. and then just people will, you know, step onto the path when and as they're ready. But you've opened the door for them. You've let them know it's there. And that is a beautiful thing indeed, yes.
Well, thank you so much. That's a great honor to hear that. That means the world to me, and I'm happy for my listeners as well. I wanted to try to get a general sense, especially for the listeners. We're talking about fifth dimensional living, or moving from the third dimension through the fourth into the fifth. Could you speak a little bit about that, and if there are things like time shifts that we may experience for those of us who are actively seeking, or from today forward will actively seek to try to attain the 5D lifestyle or the fifth dimensional living? Can you speak to what that entails, really?
Well, it's something that one reaches vibrationally rather than sort of what people imagine, which is that one day they'll wake up and there'll be peace everywhere on the earth and abundance and everything will be okay. And then earth is obviously into the fifth dimension. You will experience what your vibration draws you to. This would be also true if you were to leave your body. The next place you go depends on the vibration that you're holding, the thought, the feeling that you have as you are leaving the body. So we would say, you know, this can be entered at any time. If you want to be a fifth dimensional being, you can believe yourself to be one, and it will take some meditation. It will take time away from television and away from, you know, mass cultural influences. It will take being time away from others at times. It's important to have quiet time to yourself so that you can work with your guides and just determine, you know, even if you have to do it while a child is taking a nap, even if you only have 5 or 10 minutes a day, that's all right. Take that time and ask, what is my next step? What do I need to learn next? Or how do I deal with this issue or that? Everything you are experiencing in your life, dear one, is there to help bring you further and further into fifth-dimensional reality and fifth-dimensional vibration so that you can just resonate with that as your life and you begin to experience it as your life. Everything around you is just a reflection of whatever vibration you're carrying, all of it. You know, if the decor in your home, how much money you bring in, how much you owe or have saved, the sort of vehicle you drive, the clothing you wear, the people you are around, all of it. Just a vibrational expression of who you really are. Now, we would say regarding the fourth dimension, not to think in terms of moving into that. That is the astral plane, and that has been removed from human life in the sense of there was that which was very sort of freely open to various influences about the fourth dimension. And Earth is now taking on the vibration where those lower forms in the astral plane are not being allowed to sort of reign free as they once did. So, you know, it's also associated with time. It's the last vestige of time on the Earth. So that being closed, you would say you're not going to be moving from 4D to 5D. You're moving from the third dimension into the fifth. And, you know, regarding timeline shifts, you experience them all the time. Every time you make a serious decision about something, you move in a slightly different direction or very much bigger direction, very much different direction than where you were headed before. Now, there is a degree to which people can get caught up in this, and they feel the reality in the presence of other timelines, and it sort of bothers them. They think about a child they had in one timeline that they didn't have in the other. Or how, you know, a job they would have taken or a place they would have lived in. And that's all right, but we would say, don't let it steal your energy. Don't let it distract you. Concentrate on where you are. Concentrate in the present moment. Bring your attention back to your breathing. Bring your attention back to your surroundings. Again, spending time in nature is extremely grounding. Meditation can be very grounding. It can lift you to the higher realms, but it can also remind you of who you really are. It can clear away the cobwebs and the distractions of worry and stress, etc. So we would say there's a lot of worrying at times, a lot of stress. Am I on the right timeline? You can't be on the wrong one. If you are constantly centered, and most of you are constantly centered on what's the higher way? How can I love more? How can I release and forgive that which I once thought was unforgivable or unreleasable? How can I cut through any etheric cords that are holding me back? Any old ideas, old beliefs. And you don't have to work it out mentally or psychologically or whatnot. Sometimes that's of help to people. Other times it just takes energy work. It just takes a shift in your energies. And this is where working with an energy healer or energy worker can be a great help. Reading books that hold a high vibrational level, listening to music that hold a beautifully high vibration, meditation, all of it. You know, any sort of beauty in your surroundings, that's a beautiful abundance principle as well, bringing beauty into your surroundings. Because then you're reminded that the universe is absolutely constantly on your side, and it's constantly presenting opportunities to growth, for growth to you. Not so that you will stumble and feel weak, but that so you start remembering, relocating and reclaiming how powerful you really are. So we wouldn't really worry so much in terms of timelines blurring or overlapping or what have you. We will say that there have been negative timelines regarding the Earth, leading to great chaos and disruption, and that these have been erased. These have been removed. You have beautiful, benevolent higher beings constantly working with you. We constantly work with human consciousness. There are things that are shifting even in Earth's timeline history. Because, you know, there's no such thing as past, present, and future. All times are now. There are beautiful galactic beings working to avoid what would have been catastrophic on the Earth. You are not allowed to destroy yourselves. You are not allowed to destroy your planet. That possibility has been removed. And the danger of it, the supposed potential for it, has been squashed and removed many, many times. This is why you will hear these amazing stories of military members seeing ships appear as a nuclear missile was about to be deployed, and the ships just sort of, you know, entirely disabled the missile and take everything offline so that it can't be launched. And it will happen again and again as much as necessary until the vibration is reached where there is no bomb, no gun, no missile which will ever go off ever again. And that moment is coming, and you are helping to create it, dear ones. Never doubt your own power. You're not sort of traveling along with some great current that's carrying you down one timeline or down one series of events or another, and you've got no control over it. You are co-creators. You are here to establish new and higher energies, and you are doing that. And you are creating along those lines. It takes quite a bit of retraining of thought and expectation. We understand that. But you're doing very well. Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you very much. I have basically one more question. I mean, aside from the final question will be, you know, any final words of advice, but this question is more of a request, and if you cannot fulfill it for me, I completely understand and ask your forgiveness. I have a concern with regard to a lot of the folks that listen to this broadcast normally, and I see it prevalent so often. So many people feel as though there is something malevolent or negative that has some sort of power over them. I don't know if we can call it evil, but I know an awful lot of folks, some that are devout, others not so much, that feel that their daily lives have been impacted by some sort of negative energy that is outside of their control. My personal beliefs don't follow along those lines, but I am concerned about them. And because you have just basically eased our fears with regarding all the really terrible things that could have happened that have already been voided out before occurring, which I thank you for, I still am concerned and would like to ease the hearts and minds of my listeners with any advice or anything that you could offer regarding the feeling of a white light of protection or something that would ease their fears as to something negative being stronger than them, having more prevalence over their lives than their own will.
Well, and this is a powerful issue. Many are experiencing what you speak of. We will begin by saying that as a divine being, you cannot be harmed. What these energy forms, entities or energy forms, or outer expressions of one's own psychological fears. What they are trying to express is that, you know, any one person is not powerful. They're lying through their teeth. You are all, of course, quite powerful. They're trying to put a cap on that. Anytime you can sort of laugh at something that you feel afraid of, you have won a huge battle. That's one thing. For another, meditating, this is another reason to meditate each day, whether you feel it's doing any good or not. Because just holding the intention, dear ones, to rise into the light and realize you are higher light, divine light itself, just that intention is going to throw off that which seems to be dogging you. You can say to it, I can't help you, or you can say, what is it you need from me? Sometimes they're asking for help, and try to hear the answer. If you feel that they're only mocking you or threatening you, you should say, I have no help for you, whatever. You're going to have to work that one out on your own and be gone. Sometimes, you know, you might have to be very strong with them. It's a bit different in every case, so it's difficult to give just a very generalized view, but we would say none of this has any power over you. You know, the emotions right now are incredibly sensitive. You were mentioning earlier, people are dealing with many emotional issues, and empathy is at an all-time high in the sense of not necessarily people feeling sympathetic for one another, but empathy in the sense of awareness of energy, awareness of one presence or another, awareness of that which one has battled in past lives or in between lives, and awareness of those levels of shadows, you know, dense bits in one's own spirit that need to be aired or raised up to a higher vibrational level. There are many issues to be discussed under that one topic. We would say overall, always concentrate on the light, always concentrate that on that which is beautiful and good and pure and higher vibrational and full of love. You know, douse yourself with that every day. Anything beautiful in time in nature, time laughing at comedy, time appreciating the beauty of artwork or doing your own creative work, music, dance, art, etc., theater, whatever gives you joy. Your concentration needs to be on joy. Your concentration needs to be on being kind to yourself, loving yourself enough that you don't get caught up in these moments and confuse them with your overall vibration. Now, that's part of the deception as well. These, you know, entities or energy forms just want company. They want you to come down to where they are so that they have power and numbers and they don't feel so bad about themselves. You don't have to oblige them. You can step back and say, now, where did that come from? I was feeling good. Was there a trigger moment? Was I watching something on television that brought my energy down? Again, be very aware. Television is a huge portal, both for mind control and for lower entities. Try hard never to watch a horror or scary, any kind of scary film. They're huge portals. Try very hard to read books that really uplift you, that really bring you to a sense of joy and that encourage you and help you to feel your own sense of power. There is a beautiful book out called The Empath's Survival Guide by Dr. Judith Orloff, which we do suggest to people. We will be writing more about empathy and empaths and how difficult life can be as an empath. But we would say just, you know, if you need to speak with an energy worker or channeler or a therapist to get past fear, please do so. Don't live there. Likewise, if you're feeling depression, grief, hopelessness, don't live there. Please don't stay there. It's fine if someone needs to cry and feel bad or angry for a while. You have to let those emotions flow. But you don't want that to become your default vibration. That's a huge portal through which dark energies will enter. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for people who feel desperate or so angry they're ready to kill. And they live there. They live in that place. Now, sometimes it's a dietary matter. One needs to stop eating meat and dairy. Increasingly, human beings cannot take those substances or the violence inside of them because of how these animals are treated. Sometimes it's hormonal. Many are severely imbalanced hormonally, or they have heavy metal toxicity. You know, seeing a holistic practitioner is never a bad idea either. Some of this can be physically based. Sometimes it's an old childhood trauma coming to the fore. Let it come up. but then you need to find someone to speak to about it. At the very least, journal. At the very least, pour out how you're feeling. If you have bad dreams, write them down. They're trying to tell you something. Sometimes people feel beleaguered when, in fact, it's simply a message coming through. Or, as we say, sometimes entities are dying for help. They see you as a brilliant light. They go to you for help. You know, it's not against the rules to say who are you and what you want. And say it very directly. Don't be shy. These beings or forms are not more powerful than you are. If they're telling you they are, if they're threatening you, they're lying. Call upon the angelic assistance any moment in life that you feel unsure about anything. Now, some people are more inclined to call upon their higher self or a figure such as Yeshua, or Mother Mary or whatnot, or maybe the fairy realm. Whoever you trust and love, or an archangel, whoever you trust and love, you call upon them and you absolutely demand their help. This is something people don't do often enough, dear ones. You have to sit down every day and demand, request and require, command forth answers to whatever you are dealing with in life. You're not in a dry run-through. You're not in a dress rehearsal. No one's going to come to you and say, okay, don't worry, all those problems are over. We're in for the big performance and everything's going to go fine now. What you're in right now is the center stage, and everything you're doing for yourself is determining how good you're going to feel about life and how far you're going to ascend and how quickly and joyfully you're going to ascend. Everything you're not doing for yourself that you need to do is going to create a big debt, a big gap in your energies, and you don't want that to happen. You want to be kind and nurturing. You wouldn't dream of having a child that you didn't feed or care for. So likewise, look after yourself still once. You must. Doesn't matter how many other people you have to look after. If you don't look after you, no one else will. And again, if it means you only watch 1 hour of television or less, that's fine. Then cut that out. Take time for yourself where you're resting, spending time in nature, listening to something beautiful, expressing creatively. You're involved in meditation or going to a group meeting that's very, you know, supportive and empowering for you. You have to find ways to empower yourself. You can't just go around feeling weakened or beleaguered by something outside of yourself that knows how to get to you at your weakest moment. And we are aware there's a battle ensuing, perfectly aware. Now, this is another reason to call yourself a light warrior. Put your hand on your sword hilt and say, I belong to divine light, divine love, and I am divinely guided and protected at all times. That's very important. Something we suggest to people, particularly when you're feeling a bit weak, pull out a sheet of paper or, you know, a document on the computer. Leave a little bit of space on the right hand in the document, and you're going to type out, I am divinely protected and guided at all times. I live with angels around me constantly. Now, on the right-hand side of the page, leave that little column free. Let yourself react. Now, you can use this in many different affirmations, whatever you want to create life. I am earning such and such amount. You know, and I give thanks. Whatever you want to create or whatever you are feeling just isn't quite there yet, write out the affirmation for it. And on the right-hand side of the page, let yourself react on the gut level. Let yourself say whatever comes up. And what comes up to this beautiful affirmation will probably be something like, no, I'm not. Or who are you kidding? Or how? Or I doubt it. Or something like that. That's fine. Perfectly fine. Go back and write the affirmation again, and again react on the right-hand side of the page. And you want to keep writing the affirmation and allowing yourself to react until finally you come up with something positive on the right-hand reaction, at least two or three times. At that point, you have uprooted a subconscious belief. And in this case, for what we're discussing, you have uprooted the subconscious belief that you're not guided, you're not protected, you're alone, and you're vulnerable to attack. You want to release all of that. And the only way to do it sometimes is to work with the subconscious and uproot whatever's holding you back. Might be a fear from childhood. Might be you saw things in childhood that you don't consciously remember but which still terrify you on an unconscious level. Very often this will happen at night because the dark ones feel that that's their realm. It isn't, but they believe that, so they've made it that. And so, you know, be aware. If you're fearing something, your subconscious is convinced of something that it needn't be convinced of. So you've got to work with that. And then you work with it etherically as well. And, of course, everything is energy, so it's impossible to do anything without shifting something etherically. But you work with meditation or you go to an energy healer or what have you, or a Reiki healer, and you say to them, I'm struggling with these fears, and I feel unprotected. I feel I'm out there. And the more your psyche and your spirit see you advocating for yourself, knowing you have the right to a joyful life, dear ones, knowing that you came here to experience joy, not fear, not smallness, not feelings of helplessness, but true joy and creativity, and reclaiming your divinity in the human body. And the moment that intention makes itself clear, everything begins to shift. And these ridiculous interferences don't have a chance. They just fade away because your light keeps getting brighter to the point where they don't bother anymore. Now, it is possible to still be sensitive to lower energies, but you won't be ruled by them. Even when you sense them around, you won't really be troubled by them. And, our writer lives in this town, Sedona, which has these astounding rock formations, which hold a great deal of crystal, and in which there are many energy vortexes. And she senses different energies at different times. And she's almost learned to make room for them, as if to say, all right, this is a place for you as well in the universe. But you don't bother me. I'm not going to bother you, and you're not going to bother me. Our paths don't really cross, because I'm not maintaining any vibration that includes you. So, it's a sort of sound thought, we realize. Sounds a little sketchy. How can I be aware of something but not bothered by it? And this is just part of your path. In time, the more further you ascend, you will understand that you don't have to be bothered by something, even when it strikes you as negative. Sort of like when you go outside, you go to a shop, and the gentleman behind the counter snaps at you or behaves in a rude way, you have a choice there. You can smile and shrug it off and say, take care, you take your package and leave, and you send him light. Or you can be very bothered and allow that to sort of catch on in your energy and sort of growl at the next person who talks to you or complain that people in this town are so rude or what have you. And so in the one instance, you've remained in your calm center, and in the other instance, you've been slightly knocked out of it until you're able to come back into the center again. Now, which do you prefer? Do you prefer to lose that calm center? Do you prefer to stay in it? And it just takes practice to love, but you're all completely capable. Absolutely, we affirm that. So as we've been speaking, we've been flowing energies to you to help you understand that level of empowerment isn't trying to escape you. It's coming to you. It's flowing to you all the time. It's yours. So go ahead and claim it. Yes, indeed.
Wow, that's extremely helpful. I can't thank you enough. I do have one more question that I'm inspired now to ask you, especially based on this wonderful response. And this is my final question, aside from parting advice. But we are on the cusp of November 11th, the 11/11 gateway. And this is potentially a very exciting time. And I'm aware personally, on the cusp of a full moon or a new moon, especially lately, we set our intentions out into the universe so that they know, based on this extra energy, what we feel is in our purpose or our calling, at least for that month. But there's a big gateway coming, this 11/11 gateway. Any advice that you could give us as to what to do on 11/11 itself, on November 11th, in order to kind of basically along the same lines of, ridding us of these thoughts of negative energies outside of our control. This is the potential for something magical, I believe, and I was just wondering, any advice you could give us for 11/11?
Yes, indeed. Well, the 11, the number 11 itself resembles sort of two columns, one on the left and one on the right, and you travel through them into a portal or into a great temple. And, it's a time of creativity. It's a time of new beginnings and a new chapter and these powerful energies pouring in. All that does, that particular portal, is to awaken people all the more to their own power, their own beauty, their own divinity. And now there's something special as well about this particular portal, because it's going to help people awaken a bit more to the fact that you on Earth are not alone. And many millions understand that intuitively, even if they don't talk to their neighbor about it. And they know that there are ETs, as they're called, beautiful galactic beings who have been on this Earth for millions of years. And that really, you know, that saying if you want to see an ET, go look in the mirror, that certainly applies, because each person we speak to now is a starseed of one sort or another. And it's just this beautiful unity message in that particular portal to say, well, you're not alone, you know, you're full of these beautiful galactic cultures and intercultural exchanges, and in your sleep state, you go into the, you travel in the etheric body, and you travel all over this galaxy, and many of you are making beautiful sort of ambassadorial or intercultural connections between cultures, and connecting different races and different ideas and beliefs and mythologies and spiritual concepts, so that people are able to live together more fully, and as well to awaken the people of Earth who are not yet awakened, and to pull back a bit on those who have held the reins for too long and who determined that people on Earth would be taught you're the only ones, or there's ETs out there, but they're all malevolent, so go hide under your school desk, sort of a thing, or behind the couch. And it's a powerful shift, because you're beginning to remember that of yourselves. You're beginning to reclaim that aspect of yourselves. It says, you know, I'm an intergalactic being. I belong to the universe. I belong to many races and many cultures. And I absolutely, you know, espouse peace and an intercultural understanding, not only amongst this people of Earth, but amongst the people of this galaxy and beyond. So it's that sort of an awakening. And we would say, if you don't want to think along those lines, that's all right. Just get an image that day. Take a little bit of time to get an image that day. Just take a moment and sit with palms facing up. And you're going to imagine a beautiful column of divine golden light pouring down through you. And any time you experience fear, we will say, surround yourself in a bubble of divine golden light. Just plain white light can play a lot of different roles and a lot of different games. So we would go with divine golden light. See this sparkling light. Each little sparkling bit of light carries its own bit of light data. It carries its own increase in courage and self-love for the people of Earth. Higher self-esteem and aware of your own empowerment, your own growing empowerment. Just see that light just flowing down. It fills your entire body and all the space around you, and it fills your home and your town, and, you know, the whole region, the whole state or province you live in. That's how far it extends. And it goes down into the Earth. It meets with the great crystals of inner Earth who receive it joyfully. They're sentient beings. They have great love for you and everyone on Earth. And then it spreads out into the crystalline energy grid, which covers the entire planet and is beautiful sacred geometry design that runs through the entire planet. And then that light's going to come back up through the great crystals, back up through the Earth, and into your heart. Now imagine that light growing brighter and brighter, and see lines of light. And they're just going to keep multiplying, so there are millions and billions of lines of light, one for everyone on Earth and beyond. And those lines of light growing from your heart keep getting brighter and brighter, and they just spread out and they connect with every single living being on the Earth now. Every plant and tree, every animal, every person. And you might get a sense there are people who aren't, you know, apparently human, even though they are, like the Sasquatch people. There are others such as the embodied angels or the fairy folk. And there are others such as ETs, you know, galactic brothers or sisters who are here. Some of them known and some of them unknown. They look just like your average human, but they aren't. Many can shapeshift. That's why the Native Americans spoke of skinwalkers or skin changers, because they knew about shapeshifting, and they knew they came from the stars. So that beautiful line of light just goes out from your heart to everyone. And there's this beautiful unifying force in that light. There's this kind of love that says, I accept you. and I believe in your ascension. And there's this sort of love that just, it's so inclusive. You know, it's so empowering that it just erases all the fear you feel. And any being that doesn't like light can refuse it, that's fine. But you're helping to shift their energy even just by offering it to them. So you're drawing in divine love and you're demonstrating it on a powerful, powerful level. And now see that line of the column of divine gold, column of divine golden light just pouring great waves of light through the entire earth, so that the very matter of earth itself is being transformed. And fifth dimensional life is being birthed upon her. This is your reality now, dear ones. And the column of light is going to extend back up into the higher realms, back up to Alcyon, the great central sun. But this light that you have anchored, you know, your connection to Lady Gaia, who is the earth, the personification of earth, who is herself a beautiful soul, a planetary soul. But this beautiful light you are anchoring is just shifting everything on the earth. You know, soldiers are looking at their guns and say, what am I doing with this? I don't want to shoot anyone. Corrupt leaders are being removed from their posts to face justice. All forms of exploitation are ending immediately. All forms of violence. And the truth about what Earth's history really is, who human beings really are, and why you yourself are here, all of that is coming up to the surface now. And you're handling it with calm. You're handling it with the sort of beauty that is your soul's own essence and strength and power. And in a beautiful atmosphere of divine love that tells you everything is constantly working out for your higher good and the good of all. And you can probably do that imagery in just maybe a minute or two. You don't have to take as long with it as we did. Just sending a line of light from your heart to that of everyone, every being, living being on this earth. And to your galactic brothers and sisters, trillions of them, trillions of ships, sort of stationed, you know, docked outside of Earth's atmosphere, watching this great spectacle. Because to see a third dimensional planet and her people ascend to the fifth dimension is quite an astounding feat, and no one wants to miss it. So we are flowing energies to you, dear ones, that you understand that you, far from being sort of powerless and swept along by the current of events, you are determining those events. And you are full of the sort of power which comes from divine love and realization and demonstration of it. You are the incarnation of it. You are love itself. And please don't let anything separate you from that. If you feel any fear or edginess, just say to yourself, I am divine love itself. All is well. All is well. All shall be most well. As the great mystic, Julian of Norwich, once said. So we send much light and much love, dear ones, and we are full of joy at this incredible brilliance, which is your constantly burning, constantly enlarging and brightening light. And we give thanks for you and all the bravery it took for you to come yet again to this difficult third dimensional existence, which you are transforming with your very presence into a fifth dimensional one. And so we give great thanks to this dear gentleman who has given you this program, and to all of you who are creating it as well with your beautiful presence. And we send many blessings. Namaste.
Oh, namaste. And thank you so much. What a tremendous honor that was. I certainly feel recharged. We are going to take one of those three-dimensional breaks. Wow, that's a buzzkill, right? And we're going to speak with Caroline Oshie and Orion again. Thank you, Collective. I so appreciate these messages. It means the world to me and the listeners. We are going
to assist.
Oh, it is. The honor is absolutely mine. Thank you so much. We're going to take this break, and we will be back to talk with Caroline Oceana Ryan and get some contact information from her. And you also can get your own personalized readings from the collective as well. More info on that right after this.
TROLLS. This is a terrible new disorder being diagnosed every day. Victims of this disease have been found in psychologists, scientists, doctors, other people with letters and numbers behind their names, and anyone else who is in the world specifically to cause trouble. It stands for Totalitarian Regime Orchestrating Laughable Liar Syndrome, and is a terrible burden on anyone around those that have been diagnosed with this disease. Symptoms may include debunking all truths, diversion tactics, divisive talk, and flame war baiting, COINTELPRO tactics and maneuvers, and making rude and obnoxious comments even where such things are not warranted. You can help cure the problem by opening your eyes to the facts, speaking about this disorder to anyone you know, and not allowing their disease to influence your life. If you or someone you know has been diagnosed with TROLLS, please seek immediate assistance by going to latenightinthemidlands.com and listening to all of the shows that are available. Only you can prevent TROLLS. This message brought to you by IRA, the Independently Reporting Association. Thank you for your support.
Indeed. We thank you. We are back, if only for a minute, there with our honored guest, Caroline Oceana Ryan. We have been speaking to The Collective. We thank you so much for that. I feel so recharged from this. This is great. Caroline, I wanted to ask you where people can find you.
Yes, sure. My website is CarolineOceanaRyan.com. If you just Google that, Caroline Oceana Ryan, or just Caroline Oceana would probably bring it up. Because Oceana is a little bit of an unusual name. If you just go to my website, you'll see there's a tab for which says Ask the Collective if you want to schedule a channeling session. There's also an option if you just have one or two questions. Just hit the PayPal button for that and then email me at ascensiontimes@gmail.com. Email me your one or two questions. And what I do then is just channel live, channel the answer, and I send you the MP3 for it. So that's a little bit different from a channeling session where, I'm talking to you live over the phone or Skype if you're outside the U.S. and you're asking questions of the collective. I bring them in, and they also bring in your spirit team, so they get answers directly from them. They defer to the spirit team because they're not trying to be anybody's authority. The collective. They're not trying to say, oh, well, we've got all the answers. They go to your team because that's who you're going to go to from now on
right.
to get the answers to these questions. So it's very empowering. It's not just empowering.
All right. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're out of time. CarolineOceanaRyan.com.
Yeah.
You can get readings. You can get access to all of her amazing books about ascension and so forth. You've been we thank you again for this great honor. This has been
thank
Kindness
you,
Beyond the Veil with Chip Reichenthal, Caroline Oceana Ryan, our fantabulous guest. Next week, David Franklin Farkas is here, an international radio host with the overseas take on Kindness Beyond the Veil. Join us in the meantime. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next Monday.